All right. Hello, everyone, and very happy Sunday evening. It's good to see you all again today. So I have half an hour tonight for the Seven Steps to Awakening because this is our monthly satsang. So before I get started, I'm just going to play a song. This is a young woman named Grace Vanderwall. And the name of the song is So Much More Than This.
Sit right here, chill, level low. Close your eyes and just let it go. Right next to me, I hear your heartbeat beep. When the dial turns up and the music starts playing, we don't rely on this society. Doesn't matter how your hair looks or what they're thinking. Just what we're finding. Stop your cutting, listen in. Ignore the world, let the music cave in. Cross your phone and breathe in the air. You'll soon realize that there's something that is so much more.
All right, so last week when we were here for the Seven Steps to Awakening, we started quote 800 and we looked at 800A in the journal. And I think we might even have started 800B, but I didn't feel like I was finished. And so that's what we're beginning today. We're going to begin with quote 800 with journal entry 800B. So this is quote 800. It's a Nisargadatta Maharaj quote from step 4. If you are truly earnest and honest, the attainment of reality will be yours. I just love quotes like that. You know, like if you're truly earnest and honest, the attainment of reality will be yours. What a wonderful promise. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and look at the journal. Let me just back up to 800A as kind of a review. I'll just read it. I won't teach it. And then we'll go right into 800B. So 800A, earnestness is not the only focus for the practitioner. Honesty is also important. In fact, one who is always thinking of spirituality but not being honest with oneself is not truly earnest. that one is deluded and playing with an unreal spiritual self-image. And I'm going to go directly into 800B now. What is required in order to be honest with oneself? One must have the desire to be honest. And the desire to be honest must be greater than the desire to project a spiritual image. Time alone with one's self seems important. Time alone with the spiritual material that guides one into honest looking is extremely helpful. This Seven Steps journal is extremely helpful. A true understanding that awakening is the undoing of the personal self is also helpful, because then one can look at any desire to project a self-image and realize that it is the opposite of one's purpose. So I think we talked last week about the first part of 800B, which is that desire to project a spiritual image. I think I remember saying that I did get caught up into that for a little while. And fortunately, it made me sick, physically ill. I literally got sick when I tried to act in the way that I thought people expected me to act based on the fact that I had the role of spiritual teacher. And I just couldn't keep it up. I had to not care whether you think I'm acting the way I should or not. I had to become authentic. And again, I got sick, physically ill, when I tried to project an image. And I'll tell you just slightly more about that. This happened in the earlier years of being a spiritual teacher. And by being a spiritual teacher, I mean that people were inviting me to come to like conferences and retreats and things like that and speak. And what would happen when I would go to a conference or a spiritual retreat, you know, my personality is primarily an introverted personality. I really enjoy spending a lot of time alone. And at that time I was living in North Carolina and I was spending a lot of time alone. And I would go, or with Laurent, because he was with me for a time. And I would go to these spiritual retreats that I was invited to speak at, and, you know, person after person after person after person would come up to me and want to talk to me, and they knew my whole life because they'd listened to all of my audios, and they knew me so well, and they really wanted to talk to me. And I'm not one who chats. It's not a part of this personality. I don't chat and visit. And so what I tried to do was I tried to fulfill the role that I thought they wanted, which was to chat, you know, put on the smile and chat and visit. So I wasn't trying to be the white-robed, you know, guru thing. Like, that's never been anything I felt. But I was just trying to be the chatty, nice, oh, you know, good to see you kind of person. And it's just not natural for me. And I got sick. And each retreat and conference I went to, I got sicker and sicker and sicker. The last two times that I got sick, I was so sick, I was not able to fulfill my responsibilities of getting up on that stage and teaching. I was literally invited there as a speaker, fortunately one of many in both cases. When it was my turn to get up there and do my thing, I was too sick, I wasn't able to. And so I just had to say, you know what? I can't pretend to be something that's not natural for me. And so ever since then, I mean, I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to me, but in fact, the retreats that I do now, you know, I will take off and take walks by myself, or I take people with me on walks, because that's what I do. And there's not so much visiting happening, there's walking. And if you've been to retreats with me, you know how that goes. It's not standing there visiting and talking. It's walking around and hiking. And it's just much easier being what's natural for me and not trying to put on any kind of an image. So, yeah, projection of image in my case hurt, and I got very, very lucky with that. So that takes us on then to the third paragraph. The first paragraph was this. What is required in order to be honest with oneself? One must have the desire to be honest. And the desire to be honest must be greater than the desire to project a spiritual image. Or in my case, it's crazy as it sounds, a friendly image. Not that I'm not naturally friendly, but you know what I mean. Friendly in the way people wanted me to be, or at least the way I thought they wanted me to be. So the third paragraph. Time alone with oneself seems important. Time alone with spiritual material that guides one into honest looking is extremely helpful. This Seven Steps journal is extremely helpful. And what I meant by this Seven Steps journal is extremely helpful, I didn't necessarily mean for others. I meant for me, for the one contemplating the quotes and for the one writing in the journal, for the one spending that quiet time really looking, it feels extremely helpful. And as you guys know, I'm now committed to even more quiet time, on a daily basis, 2.5 hours. And then every other week, on average, 2 full days. And I do think, at least from my experience, I can only talk from my experience, but if I go a long period of time, which I haven't done in quite a while, but I've done it in the past at different times, if I go a long period of time without taking that quiet spiritual time for me, what I experience is things like stress starts returning. I start getting confused about my priorities. I start thinking that, like work things are important instead of awakening. I find that taking that focus time on a really regular basis, in my case, at least daily, I'm just reminded of a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, narrow is the path to life, wide is the path to destruction. And taking alone time, with whatever spiritual material I'm currently contemplating, with meditation, with self-inquiry, taking that alone time seems to keep me on the narrow path. I can feel it. I can feel the movement that's occurring when I take that alone time. And then I can also feel the straying that occurs back into the wrong mind when I don't take that alone time. So it seems important. And then the last paragraph, a true understanding that awakening is the undoing of the personal self is also helpful. Now remember, the question at the top of the journal entry is, what's required to be honest with oneself? Right? And the first answer was the desire to be honest and instead of projecting an image. The second answer was that time alone, with your spiritual material, your meditation, your contemplation, your journaling, your self-inquiry. And then the third one is a true understanding that awakening is the undoing of the personal self. Right? Really knowing what we're doing here. I can't tell you all. I could never begin to tell you all how often it occurs in my life, even today, that I will say something or think something, and then somebody will show that they have a different preference or a different opinion or a different belief, and I just drop it. Whatever I was saying or whatever I was thinking, I just drop it. Because if I see that someone else has a different preference, a different opinion, or a different belief than I do, then that means my preference, my opinion, my belief is just coming from the false self. Because when it comes to truth, there are no differences. And so I'm not going to go on and try and encourage someone to see it my way, do it my way, think it my way. Because I'm here to undo that false self. I think being really clear on the fact that that's what we're here to do makes it a lot easier to know our guidance. If we're not clear on the fact that we're here to undo the false self, then we accidentally uphold the false self without noticing. And again, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, let me just give you one little, I mean, this sounds crazy. It's crazy to me, but it is what it is. All my life, well, ever since I was a teenager, you know, my stepmother was a shopper, is a shopper. And she has lots and lots of purses and lots of shoes and lots of jewelry. And my judgment was always that that was unnecessary and that I would never do that. I would never have more shoes than I needed. You know, like maybe a pair of sneakers and then a black pair and a brown pair of dress shoes, maybe a pair of snow boots. I mean, there are certain shoes that are really helpful in a wardrobe, but never more than what I needed. Never more than one purse. Why would anybody need more than one purse? And definitely not lots and lots of jewelry. You know, just enough jewelry for, you know, to look nice at the workplace when I used to work professionally. Well, now I have a partner who, you know, how he shows that he loves and how he feels like he matters is buying stuff. And I have lots and lots of purses. And I have lots and lots of shoes. And the interesting thing is, you know, for some personalities, that would be the ego that would make them want those things. For me, I had to let go of the ego in order to accept those things. Because my ego was the minimalist ego, right? Like there's something wrong with having all of those things, and I don't ever want to be the wrong one. I don't want to be the one that's, you know, I don't know what word you'd put on it, but materialistic. Ah, there's a good word. I don't want to be that one. And up until the last 5 years or so, I stuck to my guns. In fact, I've only got my lots and lots of purses in the last year. Up until the last year, I always had one purse. And then suddenly, you know, I got one and then another one was bought and then another one was bought. These were gifts, right? And now I would have to go count how many I have. Probably, you know, like 6 or 7, not 20 or 30, but, but and now I have to like, how do I carry so many purses? You know, I got to remember to switch them out, you know, which is not something I know how to do because I always just carried one purse until it like fell apart and then I'd get another one, right? So there are just so many ways where I'm noticing, ah, that's the ego in me. That's the false self that wants to only have one purse, right? Okay, then I accept the gift of this purse and I accept the gift of this purse and just all the time looking, paying attention for where am I trying to hold on to me and how can I let go of that? So again, looking at the journal entry, a true understanding that awakening is the undoing of the personal self is also helpful because then one can look at any desire to project a self-image and realize that it is the opposite of one's purpose. You know, even if it's that self-image of minimalist, non-materialistic. Right? So what I'm going to do now is move on to 800C. This is continuing to look at the self-image. Remember that, this is my personal journal. So really what's happening is me looking at me. The quote that's being contemplated here is, if you are truly earnest and honest, the attainment of reality will be yours. So this is what 800C says in the journal. If I want others to think that I care, I want to project a self-image. If I want others to think I am spiritually advanced, I want to project a self-image. If I want others to think I am earnest, I want to project a self-image. If there is any idea I want others to think of me, or any idea I do not want others to think of me, I want to project a self-image. The desire to project a self-image is an obstacle to self-honesty. That's really interesting. it's such a subtle little trick. What do I want other people to think of me? Or what do I not want other people to think of me? Do I want you guys to think that I'm a really wise teacher? Do I want you to think that I'm honest and authentic and earnest? It's good to be honest, authentic, and earnest. It's really helpful to oneself to be honest, authentic, and earnest. But to want other people to think I'm honest, authentic, and earnest is actually going to block honesty. Because it becomes a mask then. Yeah, Jay says, given what you are saying, then the best practice is, am I trying to project XYZ? Yeah, am I trying to get people to see me a certain way? It's kind of interesting because I've seen on the news a few times over the last few years that depression is going up among teens. And do you guys know why depression is on the increase among teens, or why they're saying? They've said the same thing the last 3 years when I've seen it on the news. They blamed the same thing. It's because of the images that we attempt to project in social media. Social media, actually, they said. The images that, the social media is all about, primarily for most people, projecting an image. And what teens do, is they try to project that image. It's like they said some girls will take hundreds of selfies in order to get the one selfie they think looks good enough to put on Facebook or Instagram. So they're trying to project a self-image. But what happens is, the authentic self knows that they are faking it. Like the girl who puts up the perfect selfie, she's the one that knows that she deleted 99 selfies to get to that one. So she knows within herself that she's projecting a self-image, but unfortunately, she believes everybody else's self-image. So she looks at their perfect selfies and their, fun time with all their friends and, their travels. And she thinks, they all have the perfect life. I don't. So social media has just, you could say, given us the opportunity to be more aware of the self-images of others, and also an opportunity to really create a self-image. And as a result of all this falseness, depression is on the rise. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of similar to my story about getting sick when I tried to appear friendly in a particular way. So we could say that self-image is actually bad for your physical and mental health. The showboat disease, Jay is calling it. That's a good name. Oh, depression was cool now. I don't think depression's cool. No, I don't think that's the case. I think that the people who are experiencing it are not enjoying it. But yeah, self-image. I mean, think about that. Now, why do we want to project a false self-image? Why do we want others to think of us in a certain way? What do we have to lose just being authentic? But if we do have that desire to project a self-image, then it blocks our desire to be honest, because the self-image becomes more important than the honesty. Let me see. I notice I have 4 minutes left. Let me see if there's an 800D. There is not an 800D. 800C is it. So let me read the quote again and read the journal entry again. If you are truly earnest and honest, the attainment of reality will be yours. I love that quote. It's a promise. He's making us a promise. There's an if in the promise. We have to keep up that end of the deal, right? But listen, if you are truly earnest and honest, the attainment of reality will be yours. So 800C, if I want others to think that I care, I want to project a self-image. If I want others to think I am spiritually advanced, I want to project a self-image. If I want others to think I am earnest, I want to project a self-image. If there is any idea I want others to think of me, or any idea I do not want others to think of me, I want to project a self-image. The desire to project a self-image is an obstacle to self-honesty. So again, that's something that we can all watch for, pay attention. Am I concerned about what other people think about me? So we have just a couple minutes left, so let me just see if I can find a little bitty song to play. I'm going into my inspiration playlist on YouTube. And we're looking for a little bitty song. Well, this isn't a little bitty song, but I can cut it a little short. This is Over the Rainbow by Eva Cassidy. And since we all know the song, I can cut it short. We'll know what's coming next. Here we go.
You dare to dream, really do come.
there's where I'll cut it short because we have a thought song coming up next. So thanks for hanging out with me all, and I'll see you later. Oops, I got to let go of the mic, don't I? I stopped the YouTube and for a second thought I was done. Okay, letting go of the mic.